This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Tuesday's edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one tennis betting podcast brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. The countdown to the final major of 2023 continues with the US Open starting next Monday with the final event, the Winston-Salem in North Carolina. And looking ahead to today's second round matches, with me is Sean Calvert, our senior ATP Tour handicapper here on At Because We Win. Sean, good morning to you, sir.
Morning.
Very, very difficult time of year for us, isn't it, over here in England? And we're previewing matches that this afternoon in America. We don't have the order of play for the following day. So we have to go up pretty early here and get the matches in because some of them start 2 o'clock Eastern time. Bit of a tricky time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same when you've always got one tournament. Even it doesn't really matter where it is, even if it was in Britain, really. We don't know the matches for the next day until the previous day. So we don't know Wednesday's matches now until very, very late tonight. UK time, or even relatively late US time. So we haven't got that one day that we have in some of the bigger tournaments, or sometimes when we've got two or three tournaments in a week, we can sort of pick and choose because some tournaments are ahead of others. And you've always got several matches, at least sort of 5, 6, 7 matches to look at the day following. Obviously, we don't have that because the tennis just comes thick and fast this time of year. It's you win a match, you're playing again the next day. Obviously, you don't get that in majors. We have a lot more time on our hands in majors, but in this particular week, yeah, it's just quick fire stuff. Yeah,
exactly, quick fire stuff, and it's going to be quick fire stuff this week. We're back tomorrow with a podcast with myself and Sean. On Friday, we'll know the draw for the men's singles at the US Open, and we'll be talking about that on Friday's show, a special looking at the tournament winner. And on Saturday, we're looking at the best of the first round matches as well. So a busy schedule this week. And this time next week, I'll be up in 32,000 feet in the air, sipping on some champagne, travelling over to New York, Sean.
You will, yeah. And I'll be there a few days later. I won't be sipping on champagne, obviously. No.
Carver.
I don't drink on flights. I never, ever drink alcohol on flights, ever.
No,
it just makes me just not that I don't or wouldn't enjoy it. It just makes me too dehydrated. I get to the destination and I need about 9 pints of water. It doesn't really work for me, unfortunately.
You've got to be sipping the old champers when you're up there and chilling out.
You're probably in business class or something. I'm sat in the back with all sorts.
I'm not going to tell you. Anyway,
exactly.
The tennis action. So, but before we go on to the this week's tournament, we've got to talk about the final in Cincinnati, the Novak Djokovic match against Carlos Alcaraz. We both sat here and said Alcaraz was probably a bit of value from your point of view. I said, do you think they'll jack it in after the second set? Wow, what a match that was. Incredible level of tennis. I don't know if you watched it. I didn't watch it live, but I watched it the next day. What an amazing match that was.
Yeah, I watched the replay as well. It's doing other things with Winston-Salem and whatnot, and it was pretty late as well, wasn't it, for us? But yeah, I watched the replay. What can you say about that? What was it 3 hours 49 minutes? I think they were both putting the effort in. I just about think they deserve their paycheck, I think, after that one. Alcaraz had it, didn't he? I said if you were betting in that one, Alcaraz is perhaps the value play, and it looked like that was gonna collect. So what was he setting a break up? A very, very swingy match. They obviously have this rivalry going already, don't they? Which is great for the sport, really. Djokovic still gunslinging away at 36, years of age, and Alcaraz not gonna give up either. He had that cramp, didn't he, on his hand? Sorry, excuse me.
That's all right.
Voice is a bit dodgy this morning. Cramp in his hand. Late on, didn't he? Couldn't hit a forehand at one stage, so that a Djokovic looked like he was going to give up, sort of physically as well earlier on. That match had everything, didn't it? It was great. What a treat that was for the Mason, Ohio patrons. Great stuff.
No surprise really to see that both of them have shortened in the betting for the US Open on the back of that. I mean, how can anybody else on the tour live with that when that was at the top of the level? They were just so good. They were so better than anything else on the tour. And it's no surprise to Novak Djokovic now the favourite, plus 135 to win the US Open. And Carlos Alcaraz is plus 160 to defend his title. Then you've got the usual suspects behind them. But those two taking up a huge percentage of the book. That is probably, 38. That's about 78% of the book. So it's saying it's minus $4 that Novak Djokovic or Carlos Alcaraz will win the US Open. And when you see the performance, what they did in that match there, it's very, very hard to disagree with BetRivers on that one. Okay, that's all coming. That's all going to come next week. So new action starts in New York. The coverage here on the men's and the women's, Rory Jarani back from his holidays, is all going to be on the build-up starting from Friday. So this is the home of the US Open. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and get all the latest odds. And hit that bell button. So the subscribe button and the bell will ring when all the content drops. So that's all to look forward to. This here about here and now, though. We're about Winston-Salem, the grand Winston-Salem. You know, don't worry about the US Open, the flushing medal. This is what it's all about now. You're only as good as your last bet, and a winner's a winner. Doesn't matter where it is. And Winston-Salem's where we concentrate today. Let's have a look at the outright market before we talk about the match. A great time to talk about the outright market. It's a very open field, not like the US Open. Sebastian Korda is the favourite at $7. Borna Koric is $7.50. Emil Ruzevoro is 11. Nakashima is 11. Jack Draper, 12. Arthur Thiel's 12, Griekspoor 14, Max Purcell 14, and two of our picks are still in the tournament, Giron at 20 and Kopfer at 28-1. We lost one, Safelin. But what did you make of our other picks? Giron hasn't played yet, but Kopfer come through, didn't he? What do you think of his performance?
Well, he had to do it the hard way, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Save a couple of match points, 7-6 in the third. I have had tournaments like this before, actually, where the guy started off really slowly and looked like he was going to lose the opening round match, and they save a couple of match points, and they've gone on to win a tournament. That's happened a few times. Hopefully, that's a good omen. Kopfer can only improve for that. Kopfer, his next round is against a lucky loser now, isn't it? Altmaier, his fellow German Altmaier, pulled out. Now he's facing a lucky loser, also from Germany, who he should, you know, assuming he's not absolutely shattered after that match against Lestier, and assuming he's got the physicality, which I think he probably has. He should get through that one, but he's in that fourth quarter, which is, you know, difficult, but, you know, certainly doable for him. Obviously, Giron hasn't played yet. Safelin was a very surprised loser. There's a couple of shock results, really. I know you always get some peculiar results at Winston-Salem, but Juan Manuel Serendola won a hard court, beating Safelin, and similarly, Diaz Acosta beating Halice on a hard court. You wouldn't have thought that was likely at all, really. But both of those things happen. I think, as I said before, it's not that quick here in Winston-Salem. I think the humidity as well is perhaps slowing the balls down a bit. Because it doesn't look fast, this court. It never really has. It's sort of 78% holes. It's not quick. So there's something in it for everybody. I think the conditions are probably good for Kopfer as well, because he got all the way to the final set of the semi-final, didn't he, in very, very hot conditions in Los Cabos. And he's shown again yesterday that he can handle the heat. It's going to be 33 again today, 36 on Friday. So when the quarterfinals come, we're going to see who really wants to win this tournament, because they're going to be playing in 36-degree heat, you know, 2 or 3 days before a major. So, you know, who wants it? That's the question.
That is the question. I think you're going to see a lot of retirements again. It's been the common theme over the last couple of weeks. Lots of retirements in the men's and the women's tour as well. And I think when that heat gets going, and I think a lot of them were thinking about the action that the US Open with some big money and points to gain at Flushing Meadows. So retirements are in. I think there's going to be a lot of them in the heat of the next few days. Let's look at the action today. The first match we're going to talk about is 2 o'clock start. Head to the BetRivers website. The action starts from 2 p.m. in North Carolina. There's a few matches that start at 2 o'clock, but the first match we're going to talk about is Arthur Fields against Nakashima. The young Frenchman, who's a very talented player, is plus 102. Nakashima, in front of his home American crowd, is the favorite here at minus 127. The spread is 1.5. Fields gets the start, plus 1.5, minus 130. And the total here is very high at 23.5. They have met once before this year in Lyon, the tournament where I bet Arthur Fields to win the tournament. He won the tournament. This was a long match when they played. 7-5, 4-6, 7-6 to Fields in the final set. And Arthur Fields won that tournament, and that was the week before the French Open. So for a young player, he's on the radar to win this tournament again, because he wants to win tournaments rather than go into a US Open and bow out in round one or round two.
Yeah, he definitely does. He said in one of the quotes that I read earlier on this morning, actually, he's desperate, well, not desperate, but very, very keen to win this tournament. And the sort of reason he gave was, you know, he wants more experience. He referenced that Lyon tournament. He said exactly what you just said there. You know, it was a week before a major. Didn't bother him because he wanted the matches, and he wants the matches now. We cashed, didn't we, on Nakashima? Overs, wasn't it? Overs or tiebreak played, both. Mm-hmm. They both cashed, so whatever, in his last match. And he continues to play tiebreaks, Nakashima. You know, he's now played a tiebreak in his last 10 matches in a row. And 18 of the 26 main level matches he's played in 2023. That's 69% of his main level matches this season on all surfaces. That includes clay. Have featured a tiebreak. So that, if you're saying that 69% of his matches have a tiebreak, that converts to odds of 1.45 minus 223 that there's going to be a tiebreak in his match if you're just doing it on that. And obviously his last 10 in a row have been tiebreaks as well. So I'm happy to take odds at 1.98 minus 102 that there'll be a tiebreak in this match. The match, as you said, they played in Lyon on the clay. That went to a final set tiebreak. And again, it's been a running theme that I've mentioned a few times. Nakashima on break points has been very, very poor this season. In that Lyon match, he only took 3 of his 12 break point chances, Nakashima. Feast took 3 of 4, and that's what won him the match. It's just Nakashima, again, not just unable to break serve, just doesn't take his chances. So these two, I think they're very similar level, similar-ish sort of games. The Lyon match showed how sort of closely matched they are. I'm more than happy to take odds of 1.98 on a tiebreak in this match.
Yep, over half a tiebreak. So a tiebreak in a match, American odds is minus 103. If you want to go for the first set to be a tiebreak, you get a little bit more for your money there. You get plus 290. But that's the way that Sean likes it. A tiebreak in the first match here. We're speaking about Arthur Fields against Nakashima in a very, very evenly matched game. Let's have a look at the next match. We're going to talk about Jack Draper.
I've started doing that as well.
No. This is correct. Jack Draper here. He made a comeback, a winning comeback, but he's got a tough opponent here in Kriegsbor. I think this is a difficult match to call for the layers. It's minus 114 for Draper, minus 109 Kriegsbor. The total games again very high at 23.5. Draper did win his match against Borges, but Kriegsbor is a recent finalist in Washington here. So this looks a tricky match. I'll come on to some spreads, some props in a minute, but there's about 29 different markets on this match. Draper, I mean, he's someone that we've been talking about as a talent who's going to go big in the game. People talking about as a top 20 player, maybe even top 10. Troubles with injuries for a young age, which does concern me, everybody. Played well in his comeback, but this is a big step up against a dangerous opponent and the number 2 seed here. Do you make Draper the favourite? I'm not convinced he should be the favourite for this match.
I think this is, as you said, I think this is a very, very tough match to call. Again, I like the side markets here rather than the money line. We don't know how Draper's going to shape up ever, really. We didn't know how he's going to shape up against Borges. I thought that match might go long because of the level that Draper showed last week in Winnipeg, which wasn't great, you know, at all. I did say that Borges doesn't go well against power players, and that certainly seemed to be the case again. But I wasn't expecting Draper to play as well as he did. He looked very, very good against Borges. I'm not convinced about Kriegsbor against left-handers. I've got some stats here which are very interesting. If you look at Kriegsbor in his last 50 main-level matches away from clay, against all opponents, as left-handers and right-handers, his service points won, return points won total is 100, and he plays 0.22 tiebreaks per set. Now, if you isolate matches against left-handers, that total drops to 99, and the tiebreaks per set almost doubles to 0.43. Plays an awful lot of tiebreaks against left-handers. Doesn't seem to be able to break them as often as he can against right-handers. 5 of his last 7 matches against left-handers have featured at least one tiebreak. He's held serve 90% of the time, but only break serve 12% of the time. So there's a clear set of statistics here that suggest that Kriegsbor isn't at his best against left-handers. Certainly isn't as effective at breaking serve anyway, but still as effective in holding serve. So if I was betting in this, I think the money line's difficult because we don't know if Draper's going to carry on at that level or, you know, how his body's feeling. Kriegsbor obviously hasn't played a match yet in this tournament. Is he Kriegsbor up to it in the real heat? That you would say probably, because, you know, he won Pune.
You can argue the same thing about Jack Draper, couldn't you? Given the fact he's had a lot of injury time, there's a lot of unknowns about these two players at the moment. You know,
Draper in Australia earlier on this year. Was it this year he played Nadal?
Yeah.
He played Nadani, struggled in the heat, didn't he, there? So, yeah, both of them, perhaps questionable. But as I say, Griekspoor won Pune, so maybe slight advantage to him on that. But I think the money line's difficult. To say, if I was betting in this match, I'd take, I think it was a shade of odds against 2.02 plus 102 of BetRivers over half a tiebreak in this match.
Yeah, over half a tiebreak currently on the BetRivers website is plus 102. Sean Calvert hasn't got his money down yet, so make sure you get that plus 102 before he gets his money down. And there's 29 different markets available on the BetRivers website on this match. A whole host of props, and we say the total games here is 23.5, another very high total, and given the conditions, you couldn't disagree with that. And then remember, if you do place a bet on the BetRivers website, you can live stream the match. You can watch it from your tablet or your laptop, wherever you want to watch, or your mobile phone, to be able to watch that game, which starts at 3:20 Eastern time today, Tuesday. All these matches are today, so don't wait, don't hesitate, get your bets down before it's too late. That's a rhyme. Don't wait, don't hesitate, get your bets down before it's too late. What about that?
Use that again. Write that one down.
I'm natural. I'm Noel Gallagher, the Noel Gallagher of the I'm writing rhymes.
Not seeing that many similarities between you and Noel Gallagher.
Hey, calm down, Mike. Anyway, let's go on to the next match. There's a big outsider. Someone who I actually didn't know hardly anything about. I had to look up a little bit about this opponent. It's Kumar up against Botto van der Sandschup. We know a lot about Botto van der Sandschup, but we don't really know much about his opponent. He's a 21-year-old American. Omni Kumar, ranked 385 in the world. He's plus 450 to win this match with BetRivers. Minus 625 for Botto van der Sandschup. 5.5 is the spread. Kumar is a heavy favourite on that, minus 141. And the total is 20.5. But the one thing I do know is Botic van der Sandschup is in some shocking form. He hasn't won a match. I think he's won one match at Wimbledon in the first round since Munich in April. Absolutely dreadful run of form. Been beaten by some opponents that you would expect him to win fairly easily. Has got beaten in the first round at French Open as a very, very heavy favourite. So I'm judging by the reason that you want to talk about this match is you fancy a bit of getting with Kumar in some kind of level. There has been some support for the underdog. He's now 450 from an opening 475. Tell me a little bit more about Omni Kumar.
Don't know that much more about him than you do, because I've seen him play a few times. This hardcore swing, left-hander, not the tallest, but his serve is decent. I watched a little bit of him yesterday. I think, let me have a look at the stats. Yeah, he beat Rinderknecht in straight sets, and he only landed 44% of first serves. I mean, Rinderknecht was maybe a little bit below par. He had strapping on, I think it was his left calf, if I remember rightly. So potentially Rinderknecht not fully fit, but Rinderknecht has struggled against left-handers recently, so maybe not a massive surprise. But, Kumar hasn't really shown a great level so far. Ilya Marchenko beat him in qualies here. This one really is just about motivation. Mm-hmm. How motivated, not motivation and sort of fitness as well. How motivated is van der Sandschup here? He made the semifinals here last year, incidentally, but he lost very tamely in the semis. I think it was 6-love, 6-4 to Manarino in the semifinals last year. I think he was number 2 seed as well. As you say, he's not played since Wimbledon. The only match he's played was one Bundesliga match on clay, which was about a month ago. And that's because of an ankle injury that he's been carrying for some time. What interests me here is the fact that I've seen van der Sandschup on many, many occasions start his matches really slow, really sluggish, doesn't sort of get going until much later. Sometimes he just, looks like he needs a rocket to just get him going. He doesn't seem to really have the adrenaline at the start of matches. As you said, he's won one match since capitulating in that Munich final, which was in April. The one match he won was when I had Zhang at Wimbledon. He ended up winning that in five sets, van der Sandschup. Kumar's loving it. He's absolutely loving it. He's back in as a lucky loser. He said after his match, I love the state and I love these courts. It's not something you're ever likely to hear van der Sandschup say, isn't it? It doesn't look like he really loves anything in particularly. Obviously, they've never met before, so van der Sandschup's not going to know what to expect. Obviously, you would expect van der Sandschup to be rusty here. Yes, he's the better tennis player, but is he the better tennis player at the moment? Questionable, I would say. I took 3.8 earlier on with BetRivers about Kumar winning the opening set. I think that's probably the play. I mean, it's you wouldn't expect him to win over three sets against Van der Zandschulp, but you know, this isn't a peak Van der Zandschulp, is it? It's just coming back from injured and, you know, mentally drained after that Munich capitulation.
I've seen Bosic Van der Zandschulp probably three times this year on my travels, and I've never seen him win a match. But the one thing I have noticed with Bosic Van der Zandschulp as well is that he's very pale skin, isn't he? He struggles under the heat. Trust me, I saw him completely wilt against Ruzavori in Miami.
Ruzavori's not great in the heat either.
Van der Zandschulp won the first set, looked cruising in the second, was a break up, and then just completely fell apart. He got beat by Avashka and in Indian Wells, where also it was heat, and he retired from that match as well. And I saw him lose to Rublev in Dubai as well. And I wouldn't trust him if the conditions were really hot. Really wouldn't. I don't think. I think he's probably more.
It's a night match, this, so it might be.
It might be, but I think that's
cool. But it's still going to be warm and humid. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust his body. He's very big. He's very gangly, isn't he? And he's very tall and very gangly.
He looks lethargic at the best of times. Yeah. Even if it's not, even if the conditions are absolutely fine, it's like 20 degrees in Eastbourne or something. He still looks like he's had to be dragged onto the court and forced into playing. You know, his body language is probably the worst on the tour for me. He always looks like he'd rather be anywhere else.
There's a lot of people who don't like body language.
There are. His he just looks like he doesn't want to be there pretty much all the time. You know, that you could look at it the other way. The break might have done him good. This ankle injury might actually come at a good time for him, because obviously he's had sort of mental issues on the court since that Munich final, hasn't he? Which was such a bad capitulation. And maybe the break will have refreshed him and it'll do him good, and he'll come back here fresh as a daisy and sort of go through this match easily. But not sure. I'm perfectly happy to take those odds, 3.8, about a very, very, very motivated Kumar to win the first set.
Yep, there's the bet from Sean Kumar to win the first set. He's plus 450 to win on the money line. But he found the champion minus 625 to win that. Just maybe a big question mark over the Dutchman in the heat and on his fitness and on his form coming into it. So could be a big afternoon or a big that evening, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, the match starts for young Kumar. The final match we're going to talk about is Ruzavori against Purcell. It's 2 p.m. So it's another early start here. Ruzavori is minus 162. Purcell is plus 130. Ruzavori leads the head-to-head 2-0. On the spread, it's 2.5. Ruzavori giving up 2.5, minus 105. Purcell, plus 2.5, minus 121. The total is 22.5 here, with very similar prices. Over, minus 117. Under, minus 109. Purcell reached the quarterfinals in Cincinnati, and he's played an awful lot of tennis. I would think that plus 130, I'd probably want to get with Purcell here. But the fact that he did so well last week in Cincinnati, and the fact that he's played a lot of tennis, does give me a little bit of doubt. What's your thoughts on this one, Sean?
Yeah, I think he'll probably want to keep playing, because he was another one that had a bad ankle injury as well as Van der Zandschulp. You know, it kept him out for quite some time, so he should have something left in the tank. And I think from his point of view, he's riding a wave at the moment, isn't he? Since he's actually got over that foot and ankle injury, whichever it was, you know, he's gone from losing in straight sets to 41-year-old Feliciano Lopez in Mallorca to almost beating Alcaraz in a Masters 1000 quarterfinal in the space of a couple of months. I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it, what the level he's produced in the last sort of month or so compared to what he'd done before. I know he was struggling with injuries, foot injuries and stuff, but even before all those injuries, he wasn't really at this level. If you look at the stats for this season, that main level and outdoor hard, the service points won and return points won totals are exactly the same, both on 101. So nothing to choose on that. If you go in just on that, and on the basis of Purcell's excellent form recently and the fact that he's going to be on a high, really, you would think, after how he played in Cincinnati. If you go in just on that, then you would certainly be tempted to back Purcell at odds against. But, you know, the head-to-head isn't great. They've played twice. Ruzavori's won them both, and it's quite a significant advantage to Ruzavori in terms of the service points won, return points won totals, 113-87, which is overwhelmingly in favor of Ruzavori. One of those was played in, I think it was in Astana. It's a really Nursultan, whichever you want to call it. That's a slow indoor hardcore. Certainly wouldn't suit Purcell. Closer in Melbourne. Almost took it to five sets per se when they played in Melbourne. I think it was the start of this season. But the price is, I don't know, it's just a bit short for me. He was a 3.21 plus 221 chance per se when he played Rusevori in Melbourne. And when they played in that Nur Sultan match, he was 5.23, so plus 423. Now you're getting what, plus 130, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think it's a lean for me. I think Purcell, I am on the basis of the form that he showed. Rusevori hasn't shown fabulous form. He won a very, very scrappy match against Rublev, didn't he? That was the one we talked about at 135 on forced errors or whatever it was in it last week. So not overwhelming form from Rusevori. I am tempted with Purcell, but I think the price is just slightly too short for me.
Yeah, plus 130 is putting me off as well. I just think he's played a lot of tennis, and the high of that quarterfinal at Cincinnati, then obviously coming back to this match here with an opponent that is erratic. You don't really know with Rusevori how he's going to turn up. So interesting ones there. So the official plays, Sean, what is our official picks? The ones that we keep on the records for our picks. What are we going to go for here today?
Yeah, Kumar to win set one against Van der Zandschulp. That's a 3.8 chance. With Bet Rivers, and the other one was tiebreak played at minus 102, 1.98 in Fis against Nakashima.
And there you go. They are the two bets for us today. And remember, all these matches are today. So it's just Tuesday. Usually we do them a day in advance. They're actually today. So head to the Bet Rivers website and get those bets on nice and early. I forgot the rhyme. I've already forgot the rhyme.
I told you to write it down, didn't I?
The lyrical genius. I forgot it already. Anyway, we've got a question for you, Sean.
Okay.
It's on YouTube, one of our YouTube subscribers. Remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel. It is Betting Weekly Studios, at Because We Win. At Elbury3443 asked a question. He said, do you approach totals differently going into a Grand Slam from best of three sets to best of five sets? Do you have a different approach to your betting when you see totals go from best of three sets to best of five sets?
I don't tend to do totals in best of five. The reason for that is I've been burnt over the years by backing a match that I think is going to be close. And I've gone sort of over 36.5, over 37.5 total games. And a couple of the sets have ended up like 6-1, 6-3. And it's gone to a sort of longish four, which is what you thought it was going to be. And you've ended up under the totals. So that does aggravate me. I tend to go more on the set handicap in majors. One of the tactics that I've used, pretty successfully over the years in majors, it's a market that BetRivers do offer is the plus sets. So if you think your guy's he's got a reasonable chance of winning, but he is the underdog, the chances are he might end up losing in five, then you can take the plus 2.5 sets or the plus 1.5 sets, whatever the odds are. I tend to go for that because it's difficult in majors when it's best of five in hot conditions as well. I don't know what the weather's going to be like this US, but it's normally pretty hot and humid there, and you can get players kind of tapping out of sets and they're dropping them 6-2 and 6-1, and that is aggravating. If you've called a match, you feel like it's gone the way that you thought it was going to go, but you've lost the totals by one game or two games, that tends to be quite annoying. So I tend to focus more on the set handicaps in majors.
That happens an awful lot at the French Open as well, doesn't it? A lot of people tank the final set 6-love, 6-1, the way that they play. And obviously, the conditions are a lot slower. But at Wimbledon, with the overs, the overs comes in more because it's a lot quicker than the other surfaces. So hopefully that answers your question. Sean doesn't play the total games in best of five. He goes for the...
Not often.
Over 3.5 sets, which is probably the better play to cover you on that reasons there from Sean. One thing you said there, Sean, it says things that aggravate you. I think that's a new section of the show. Things that aggravate Sean. This week, what's the one thing that's aggravated you? Is there something non-tennis related? He must have been aggravated. There must have been someone down the beach. There must have been a workman in the road.
There was a few people down the beach, actually, that were annoying. So the beach that we have is right next to the train station. And you can sort of... People can sort of come in, get off at the train station, get drinking and stuff, and then cause a lot of aggravation, then just hop on the train and sort of disappear. That's annoying. But I mean, obviously, it's the school holidays as well.
Oh, that's so annoying. That's annoying.
I don't think we've got time in the show for me to go on about all the things that aggravate me at the minute.
I know that the Lionesses got beaten in the World Cup final, which was, I know you would be one of the only Englishmen very happy about that because you wouldn't have to endure Sweet Caroline again.
Why would they play that?
Well, that's their anthem. They play it every time. Yeah, yeah. So if they'd won it, it might have even been in the charts. It might have gone in the hit parade. They might have done their own version of it.
Why is that their anthem? I don't get
they've taken it on. It's Sweet Caroline is the Lionesses anthem. So
is it really?
Yeah, that would have aggravated you if that.
Well, in that case, I'm very pleased that they didn't win in that case. Yeah,
that would have aggravated you. remember, there's four ways to follow us here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. You can download the podcast Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on your preferred podcast provider. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's going to be some brilliant content on there. The Champions League final qualification is this evening. There's some picks on there and some great show on that. Also, the Premier League at the weekend and all the action across Europe and the tennis. The US Open is really going to be busy here. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios at Because We Win, and follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Because We Win. Myself and Sean will be in New York next week. We'll be giving you all the coverage from courtside, the best bets, any news we hear. And also, Sean will give us a little guided tour, and he'll be showing you the routes, the bus routes. You must get the bus routes from Queens. You can walk it. You'll be walking it, won't you, surely?
It's about a 35-minute walk from my hotel, or I could just go to Flushing Main Street. I'll probably just take a 15-minute walk to Flushing Main Street and then get one stop out to Willits Point and then walk it from there, because I do like a bit of public transport, as you know, so I'll probably do that.
that is what you want to subscribe to.
Watching me wandering about Queens in public transport. That's great. That is fabulous content.
That is the content we've come here for. Sean, have a great day, my friend. I'll speak to you tomorrow. The action really does hot up. There's loads of stuff coming here on Because We Win and the Betting Weekly Studios. Take care, everyone, and good luck with your bets today.